You can tell them in the country, tell them in the town. The miners down in Mingo laid their shovels down. We won't pull another pillow, load another ton, or lift another finger till the union we have won. Stand up, boys, let the bosses know. Turn your buckets over, turn your lanterns low. There's fire in our hearts and fire in our soul, but there ain't gonna be no fire in the hole.
This is the Labor Exchange on KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. I'm your host, Robert Lindgren, with the Colorado AFL-CIO and the Denver Newspaper Guild, Local 37074. Our guest today is Patrick Scott, the director of the AFL-CIO Organizing Institute. He's in Colorado this weekend helping train a new class of labor activists. Welcome to the Labor Exchange, Patrick.
Robert, glad to be here.
Yeah, thanks so much. We like to get to know our guests at the top of the hour, so tell me a little about yourself.
Yeah, so once again, my name is Patrick Scott with the AFL-CIO's Organizing Institute. So I'm originally from Augusta, Georgia, born and raised in Augusta, Georgia. I currently live in the Atlanta area. I am a 30-year union organizer. I've been a union organizer for nearly 30 years. My father was an educator, and my mom was a nurse. And I have two older brothers as well, one who is also a member of the union movement as well, and one who's a minister. And so we come from a little bit of humble beginnings, right? We were taught that we were always going to be on the side of right. And we were taught that we always needed to stand in a sphere of justice for everyone. And so through that, and not knowing much about union organizing, or not knowing much about what a union was, that was still ingrained in us as kids. And as we grew up, so I graduated high school, went to college in Atlanta, and someone from a program called the AFL-CIO's Organizing Institute talked to a class that my brother was in. And my brother eventually became a union organizer. And then 2 years later, somebody from the Organizing Institute came to my class. And lo and behold, I find myself here nearly 30 years later as the director of the program that someone came to recruit people to become union organizers from. And so I say I fell into it by accident because I always wanted to be an elementary school teacher. And the more I think about it, it was destined that I become a union organizer. And so I finished school. I went to work for a union in Illinois, AFSCME, Illinois, mostly organizing working people who worked in nursing homes, mental health care facilities, mental health care group homes, and taking care of the most vulnerable people in our society. And those experiences I still think about some nearly 30 years later, about the workers and the working people and the work that they did and the work that they do, that everybody has dignity and should receive a sense of respect and dignity for the work that they do. And if they don't, my job as a union organizer is to get people talking, for them to start connecting the dots to say, we just want what a fair day's pay and to be treated with respect and dignity for the work that we do. And so that has been ingrained in the work that I do, and that's why I've really committed to make a life as an organizer.
Well, and you mentioned some of those early transformational things that you had in that early time as a union organizer. Are there any stories from that time that you'd be willing to share with us that maybe have helped you continue to ground yourself in the work of organizing?
Yeah. Yes. I think that there are several. So the very first campaign I worked on, I worked in Joliet, Illinois. It was the very first campaign. I'm fresh out of college, but I have all of this energy. And worked on a campaign in Joliet at a place called Easterseal of Will in Grundy County. And the workers who worked for Easterseal of Will and Grundle County, they were just amazing for the work that they were doing, right? They were taking care of people who had certain deficiencies, and they were responsible for taking care of them. And I just remember they'd always go to work knowing that the problems that they were dealing with, because they really worked to their heart's end to make sure that the residents that they were taking care of were just really provided for, but yet they were not being provided for. They were not treated with a sense of respect and dignity for the work that they'd done, right? And they were just super committed. And I just remember as they started talking about forming a union, they said, yes, we're doing it for us and our families, but we're also doing it for the residents that we're taking care of because they're our families too. And I just remember how the domino effect of what they thought, like it was not just we're doing it just for me, and not that we're just doing it for me and my immediate family. They said the residents that they take care of was just their family. And then it just started once again just to connect with me more that this is bigger than just people and their families, right? This is about, yes, it's about people and their families having a sense of respect and dignity, but this really feeds into a larger community when people are talking about fighting for a sense of respect and dignity for the work that they do. And this is about how do we lift the entire community. And I just, that's the one thing, Robert, that I take back from, it was just not about them and their immediate families. They looked at the residents as, that they were taking care of as, they're our family too.
Well, and we know so much of this from union members that are in care industry. Like we had a home care worker bill to try to get them to have more of a voice through this board that's been created. And I think it is about making sure that there's this ability for the people they care for to have good care while they are fully able to give that care because they themselves can can have the dignity of having a home, having the ability to save.
Yes.
And I also hear a little bit of what I hear from our teachers where they are always trying to improve the teaching conditions of their students, which are their working conditions. And
exactly.
And so much of this happens in that realm.
Yeah, yes. It's very similar, right? Because teachers and other educational professionals who work in the education profession, from the bus drivers who pick up the students, you know, where students are, the bus drivers are the first professionals that the students see, and they're the last that they see as they go home, right? Those bus drivers are responsible for their safety. The teachers and the paraprofessionals are responsible for, you know, the education. So it all goes hand in hand, and it's just, you know, for people who do such work in the care industry, how are they rewarded, with the things that they feel that they deserve, right? So.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and I haven't even thought about that. The bus driver. I remember my bus driver. Her name was Sheridan, and she played Ace of Base in the mornings, got us all as fifth graders ready to learn. And,
right.
And you know, same thing on the way home. We're all singing it, you know.
Saw
this. We did it. You know, I didn't actually connect how that prepared us to learn, because that was,
yeah.
That was, you know, fifth grade is a pivotal year. My son's a fifth grader, so she got that going. Our guest today is Patrick Scott, the director of the AFL-CIO Organizing Institute. We're talking about a training that took place this weekend in Denver. Let's rejoin our conversation. All right, so what are we doing this weekend in Denver?
Yes, so we are super excited. We were super excited to partner with the Colorado AFL-CIO and host an organizer training where member organizers and member activists and staff organizers learn like the fundamentals of what we need in the principles of what we do to build our unions, to strengthen our already existing unions, for workers who don't have a union but want a union. Like, what do we do to give them the tools where they where they win a union, where they win respect and dignity on their jobs. And so we're here in Denver for 3 days with about 40 total participants and trainers from different unions from across the country. Landed in Denver, and where we worked on, where we all learned and where we reinforced and where we shared best practices of how do you have the right one-on-one organizing conversation with people who don't have a union or in your already existing unions. Like, what does that conversation look like and why does it have to look this way? Then we focused on how do we identify and develop leaders, right? How do we, where workers want to form a union, how do we identify who the leaders are and how do we reach out to them and how do we develop them in this effort to where them and their coworkers are forming a union? Because those leaders are going to be the face, and they're going to be the face and the heart and soul of that organizing campaign. And so, and the last thing we focused on is like, how do we like run mini campaigns using issues that workers are dealing with at work, using the problems that working people are dealing with at work? How do we galvanize and mobilize and organize them around issues so they can come together and join a union? And at the end of this, for us, it's teaching the 40 participants. Our job as union organizers, yes, we learned all these principles and we reinforced all these skills, but our job as union organizers are to get working people talking who don't normally talk, for them to realize that they have so much in common, and they're each other's enemy, and they're not each other's opposition. But when those workers start realizing that they have more commonalities than not, and then they realize that they're all in the same boat, and it's like, then, and they have the same problems or similar problems, how do they then come together collectively and demand a sense of respect and dignity for their employer? And so that's what we're doing in Denver.
Well, yeah, and I think one of the points that came, and I'll say in one of our conversations in the big group, is, how do we build these organizations that break down the walls, bring people together?
Exactly.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask you on something. Early on in this training, we focus a lot on careful listening. Uh-huh. And what's the importance of being able to listen, yeah, when other people are telling you what's happening at their job?
Yeah, Robert, I think it's a very interesting question, because we focus on listening because workers, they're, in many cases, they're being told what to do all day long by their supervisor, their employer. And not in all cases, right? But in many cases. And there's not much of an outlet for working people when they're just told what to do. And so in this training, our goal is to teach and reinforce really good and active listening skills, because we as organizers, it's our role to be able to listen to what people are saying and not interrupt them, but really listen to like what they're dealing with at work. Because the only way that we can start the process of helping them connect with their coworkers to build something stronger is by us listening to what they're dealing with and what they're going through at work every day. And so listening is just a core critical skill, one of the most important skills to become a union organizer and to being a union organizer, because if we're not listening to what people are saying, then that means that we have our own agenda for what we think workers should be doing versus listening to them around what it is that they're feeling and what it is that they are focused, like what it is that they're going through. Because that's the only way that we're going to be able to really connect with them and also move them to action. And educate them about like what a union is. We can't talk about what a union is until we know what problems that they're dealing with at work.
Well, and another concept that we cover in the training is around something we talk about is the employer tries to do, which is to make the union this third party. Uh-huh. Could you just go into a little bit of what that is and sort of why we need to train people to think about that?
Yes. Yes, this is, Robert, I think you hit on something that we need to focus on much more, right? So there's a belief, because there's a lack of education about, you know, in our communities around like who the union is and what a union is. And so management, a lot of times, the employer, they will always say the union is this outside party. They're this outside party. They're going to come in. They're going to wreck our happy home, and they're going to do this, and they're going to speak for you, and you don't need anybody to speak for you, da-da-da, all these different things. Our goal is to teach people that they are the union, that they are the union, and they should own this process of building a union, because it's their union, right? It's not for Patrick, who lives in Atlanta, to work on a campaign in Denver and be responsible for talking to workers who work at a facility and then talking to their management. Our goal as organizers is to really educate people and provide them the tools by which they can come together collectively and develop and create and build their own strong union, because they're the ones who work inside that facility, right? If things are gonna change, they're gonna change because they've decided to take the responsibility and take the accountability with their coworkers, with the majority of their coworkers, and say, we want to have a union. This is gonna be our union. We own this process. We've given management chance after chance after chance to make things right. Now we're gonna take it in our own hands with our coworkers and our coworkers' families in mind about how do we make things better at the place that we work at.
So switching gears a little bit, mm-hmm. Our youngest participant this weekend was 19 years old. We had many participants in their 20s. What have you noticed with this younger generation that is becoming this new vanguard of labor activists?
They're bold. That's the first thing I noticed about this younger generation. And they've had much more access to information than we've ever had and the generations before them have ever had, right? So they have a lot of access to information, and they are bold, right? And so they've captured something that I think that we and, you know, the generations prior to them, that we should be figuring out. And like, they are building something. Like, they are really bold and they are involved and they're active, and you know, they're doing something that we've not seen in a long time, and we should take note of what some of the things that they are doing, right? Because they've jumped in the streets and they're like, we're not taking this anymore. Like, whether it's around work, whether it's around orientation, whether it's around being safe when they go to schools, like they are serious about taking action. And so we are behind and we need to play some catch up with what they're doing.
I want to ask for our listeners, maybe, you know, maybe they're not super labor focused. Maybe they just tuned in a little early for our wonderful shows after this. Uh-huh. What advice would you have to someone who sees a problem at their job, something they see that they think they could improve, and they think that perhaps forming a union is the way to do it?
Yeah, because all of us are going through, things at work, right? Some of us are going through more than others. And so, you know, if there are things that you are dealing with at work that are unsafe, or whether it's unsafe, whether you've been in a situation to where you feel like you're not receiving the respect and the dignity that you deserve, talk to some of your coworkers that you trust, right? Talk to some of them, get their thoughts on this, because they may be thinking the same thing. And then reach out to people who want to help you build, who want to help you have a fair and safe work environment, right? Reach out to the Colorado AFL-CIO, reach out to the unions in your immediate area, in the industry, in the profession that you're in, and talk, right? Because you're not the only one dealing with this. You're not the only one dealing with the certain situation that that specific situation that you're dealing with. There are other people, and there are other people who want to reach out to people who are similarly situated and do the same thing, right? And start connecting the dots. And then, because once you start connecting with other people, you then start strengthening, you all start thinking about your ideas, you then start strengthening your hand, and then reach out to a union who wants to help you help you and teach you to and be on the alongside of you to fight for those things and win those things that you deserve.
Yeah, well, at the top of the hour, you had mentioned that your brother is a minister. Mm-hmm. If you're comfortable with it, would you mind maybe contrasting or comparing how being a union organizer is similar to being a minister and how it's different?
He and I, we talk about this often. Let me start with how it's different first. And there is one specific way that he and I, we joke about all the time. And this is not so much for the congregation that he leads as a pastor. This is more so for his brothers. He likes to tell us what to do, right? He likes to tell us, you know, he likes to like lecture and tell us what to do, da-da-da. And as union organizers, we are not in the, we're not responsible for telling people what to do, right? Our goal is to talk with people and to really have them think about like what their problem is and how they're gonna solve their problem themselves with their coworkers, along with their coworkers, right? So my brother and I, we talk about this a lot. The similarities are, we are responsible for people's lives. As a pastor, he is responsible for developing his congregation around the central focus of being a Christian. And he's responsible for that, right? And as a union organizer, for working people who don't have a union and who want to have a union, we're responsible because this is not an easy process. And we don't take this lightly, because sometimes when people are going out and saying, hey, we want to form a union, their employer is not gonna like that. Most of the time, their employer is not gonna like that. And their employer is gonna do things to threaten people and to retaliate against people who want to form a union. And so at times it's like we're walking, you know, working people through this process, but their lives are in our hands. Their livelihoods are in our hands. And so we take that very seriously, because they're doing what's right. They're joining together with their coworkers to correct a wrong that their employer won't do. And instead of the employer correcting the wrong, the employer will retaliate against people. And so sometimes it just reminds us that the working people who we come in contact with, their livelihoods are in our hands when they're going through this process of building a union. Yes.
Well, yeah, and so much of this training this weekend has that sort of ethical underpinning, mm-hmm. because the stakes are so high.
Yes. 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 No, you're exactly right. Right. Because that foundation is very similar. Because you're right. The stakes are so high for working people. The stakes are so high for working people who want to have a sense of dignity for the work that they do and just treat it, you know, as human for the work that they do, which is not always the case. You know, when they are tied to an employer who only deals with profit, who only cares about profitability, right? And so, yeah, those stakes are high. Same thing, you know, as I think about the comparisons with my brother as a pastor, the stakes are high because there's always an enemy trying to, you know, attack Christians, you know, mm-hmm. as well in his line of work too, right? And so, yes, it's very similar.
More generally, if you're comfortable talking about this, how has faith played a role in your union organizing, in your union story?
I think it goes hand in hand. It goes hand in hand with me being a Christian, and having a strong faith. I think at the core of my faith is social justice. And at the core of my faith, in addition to that social justice, is me funneling that space to being a union organizer. It's critical in my life. I can only speak, you know, for my life. It's critical to line up and solidify my faith and the work that I do as an organizer. For me, it's just one of the, like, those are some of the tenets who make me who I am.
Yeah. One other thing I noticed in this training is there's a lot of laughter. There's a lot of humor happening. And you said a phrase during the training that said, we're here to have fun, but we're not here to play. What does that mean?
You know, so there are 40 organizers in the room from across the country and from different unions. And you know, we're here for 3 days. We're going to have some fun, you know, as people get to know each other over the last 3 days, right? We are here to have fun, but we're not here to play, because the employer is not playing with us. The employer wants to break the will of working people when they're trying to form a union, and everybody has to understand that who's in this training today or over the weekend. Everybody has to understand that. While we are playing, if we're going to play, the employer is always plotting and planning about how to break the will of working people. And so we have to be cognizant and understand that the employer is not playing games here. They have all the power, they have the resources, they have the laws on their side in many cases. They are not playing because they're not playing with their money. And they want, their goal is to increase their profitability hand over foot. They're not playing about that. And we had a lot of fun this weekend, lots of laughs this weekend, but we cannot be caught on the practice field while the employer and the employees are on the playing field, because they are actually not playing, if that makes sense. And so, yes. Yeah. I don't know if that makes sense.
I want to give you just a final word for either labor movement, Colorado, you know, me, anyone who's listening, just some final thoughts from you, Patrick.
Sure thing. So this is my first time ever staying in Denver, and I appreciate the hospitality that the Colorado AFL-CIO provided, that the IBW Local 68 provided, and just the community. It's a neat city and a neat town. I've spent time in Pueblo before, several years, I guess it's been a dozen years, where Robert reminded me that's where we originally met 12 years ago or so. And, you know, I just say there's a movement that's happening with working people, because working people, we're tired of being treated like this, right? And it's happening here in Colorado. This movement is happening in Colorado as well as across the country, where Like those days are over, where corporations are just like taking. And the way that we can combat this and the way that we can win is for Coloradans to come together and say, hey, corporations, yeah, you can make your money. We just want to be part of that too. And you can do it voluntarily, but we don't think you're going to do it voluntarily. So we're going to come together and we're going to fight and we're going to win the things that we feel that we deserve at work. And so I'm glad to be here in Colorado, spending an extra day here and before I go back home. And no, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for being on the Labor Exchange. It's been a pleasure. And thank you so much for coming to Colorado to help train us, to help train me to help do these trainings in the future.
Sure thing. No, thank you a bunch.
This has been the Labor Exchange on KGNU Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. I've been your host, Robert Lindgren, with the Colorado AFL-CIO and Denver Newspaper Guild. Our guest today is Patrick Scott, the director of the AFL-CIO Organizing Institute. Have a great day.